And let's bring in James Sharman. Mr. Sharman, identify the group of death for me in this lot.
I'm not feeling very well right now. But
Why?
Well, I mean, for me, a group of death, there should be four teams that can qualify. It's four good teams.
Yes.
And I don't see it in this draw. And listen, when we expand to 48 teams, it'll get even worse. Ooh. But there's some decent groups. And Group D, for me, stands out as the one that is probably the toughest group. Argentina, Iceland, Croatia, Nigeria. Obviously, Nigeria and Iceland would be the two teams that you would think would be on the outside looking in. But listen, Iceland are that wonderful story. They know about tournament football now. We saw them play so well at Euro last year. And Nigeria cruised through African qualifying, so they're decent teams. But Argentina and Croatia should be the class in that group. And for me, that's the toughest group. But I'm sorry, I want to jump on the bandwagon here, but there's not a group of death.
No, I think you're, you know, and James, there are people who said that with the new system, right, the FIFA rankings-based system for the way the teams were drawn, there are people who said that this is what was going to happen, that you would probably would not get a true group of death because it wasn't regional anymore, and it appears that the system has kind of functioned that way.
Yeah, 100%, absolutely, and it's just silly thing to begin with, the FIFA rankings, and why. I mean, they want to make it important, right? I know that they want to legitimize the rankings, therefore they're going to use it for these draws now, probably going forward, but it's so difficult to make sense of those rankings when you have so many nations, you know, over 200 nations in FIFA, and you rarely play, you know, that many games a year to make them relevant. So that was always going to be the case. That pot four didn't have very many good teams in it. Pot three, not that very many good teams. So it was inevitable this is going to happen. But that's not to say there's not, you know, some good narratives here, some decent groups. But it is what it is now. It's a World Cup, right? 32 teams, and there just aren't 32 good teams in world football.
Yeah, you know, and I think you might have some decent tussles for 1v2 in some of these groups. You know, that's the one thing. You know, like the England Belgium group. I don't think Panama and Tunisia are going to do anything. But you know,
you said that.
Well, it's, you know, but the crossover, you know, again, it kind of depends how it lines up with the group they cross over with too, right? Sometimes being one is, you know, sometimes two is better than being one.
100%. Yeah. I mean, look at that Group G and Group H. So if Belgium win, they're probably playing Poland, maybe Colombia, England come second. It's, you know, it's going to be a great crossover for both those teams, Belgium and England. You're right, they should get out of that group, but I've heard that before. that's a great, great draw. It's a fantastic draw. And I was checking with some friends just now on Twitter how I'm already saying England quarterfinalist, right? Surely. And then it's Germany. So I'm probably counting my chickens before they're hatched here. But that's a great draw, obviously. But that match, Belgium-England, in the final group game in Group G, should be a great one. Belgium, you know, the golden generation, and so many of their stars play in England. They know each other so well. So that's one of the more compelling matchups in this tournament.
England losing to Germany on penalties in the quarterfinals would be a shocking result, James.
I will take penalties, Stephen. Are you kidding? At this point, if we can take Germany to their penalties, please.
Okay. What about Germany's group, the defending world champions, Mexico, Sweden, and South Korea? You know, look, Sweden advancing. I still think Italy beat Italy. And no disrespect to Sweden, I still think Italy beat Italy. Mexico, it's not the same Mexican team we've seen in the past. I think this is a pretty easy group for Germany. I think if you're Jurgen Love, you're probably coming out of there pretty happy with the way things are right now. I mean, the bottom line for Germany is you need Manuel Neuer healthy by the summer. That's the bottom line right now. But if I'm them, I'm looking at this going, this has worked out pretty well for us.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's no team deeper than Germany. Even without Manuel Neuer, they'll be just fine, I think. And they'll cruise through that group. I think you mentioned before, Jeff, how their B team could do it. And they could. Their C team could get through that group, I think. But they better not slip up because Brazil awaits the second place team, right, and in the next round. So there's a big one potentially on the horizon there, so you can't sleep in that one at all. But yeah, that's not a great group. Mexico have their moments. They've had some good World Cup moments too, but I don't think they're enjoying a special moment in their era. And you're right, Sweden, with or without Ibra, whether he comes back or not, they're a decent team and they're a good story in qualifying. I think they surprised all of us. And then, but don't forget, they beat France at one point. But they're not the same quality, even close to the same quality as Germany. So the Germans should roll for that group, and I think they should be rightfully the favorites for this tournament.
Now, Portugal-Spain will be a fun match at the group stage, but again, if you look at how that plays out, James, and you know, forgive me if I've got this wrong again, but they're going to cross over with Group A, right? So
yeah,
so they're
yeah.
going to, so they'll both have, they'll have both have weak crossovers, and then you know, so that puts them in a both of those sides probably in a reasonably good position. Whatever happens, you know, whichever one comes out ahead in the group mm-hmm. stage.
No, 100%. That's for those two teams. Obviously, they'd rather not face each other in that group, but the crossover with Group A with Russia, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Uruguay. With the exception of Uruguay, you know, they're not very good teams. Egypt was, again, a good story. We saw Mo Salah, you know, just doing so well right now for Liverpool, did well for his country. But they haven't been at the World Cup for a long time. Saudi Arabia is probably the worst team at the World Cup. And Russia is hosts. You never rule out the hosts in the group phase, obviously, but they're not a very good team.
Right.
They're one of the lowest-ranked teams in this tournament. Now, Uruguay are a good team. On their day, they can beat anyone. But, yeah, that Portugal-Spain game, that's the one to look out for, certainly in the first round of games in this World Cup. That should be great, although, you know, the concern is it'll be very pragmatic, very defensive. That's mm-hmm. what got Portugal to the promised land in the Euro, of course. Will they revert to the same tactics? Probably.
Yeah, it smells like 1-1 to me is what it smells like. You know, there's something along those lines, yeah.
I'll tell you, as I look at this draw and just kind of looking ahead, that to me there's one country that really stands out as a dark horse here, and I think that's Poland. If things break right for Poland, they could find themselves in the quarters. They really could.
Yeah, I agree. They're a very good team, a very balanced team, mm-hmm. Very experienced. And in Robert Lewandowski, they have arguably the best out-and-out striker in world football.
Mm-hmm.
He just bossed his way through that group in qualifying. And given a pretty weak group in Senegal, Colombia, and Japan, he'll be able to, and I think they're not great defenses, that's for sure, in that group. So he'll be very dominant, I think, and could be one of the early faces of this tournament. And yeah, Poland, you're right. And again, with their crossover, who knows, you get to the quarterfinals and really anything can happen. We see at some point you're probably going to have to get through a penalty shootout. And that's,
yep.
I hate to say it's a lottery. It's not really a lottery, but let's face it.
But they're going
to
be crossing over. But they cross over with Group G, right? So they're going to be playing.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to have England or Belgium probably.
Yeah, yeah. So it could be a tough one in a round of 16 for them. But if they get through that, then, you know, who knows in knockout football. But yeah, they're a very good team and they haven't done too much on the international stage, but I think a lot of teams fear playing them because they have such great experience.
James, can you make a case? You know, it's one of the things I always do on draw day. Try and make a case for a country that has never won the World Cup before to win the World Cup. You know, it's a reasonably short list given how long this competition's been going on, and you know, one of those teams isn't around this time in Italy not being there. But if you kind of like, I'd love to be able to make a case and say this is the year that Belgium, you know, lifts the World Cup. I'm not sure I can do that.
Yeah, I know. You know, I was going to say Belgium too, Stephen. And, you know, are they even a dark horse now? You know, they've been a dark horse at Euro. So I don't think it'd be a dark horse at two straight tournaments. They're now probably one of the contenders. But I just look at the top teams. And I look at Germany. I look at Brazil, who have been reborn now under their new manager. I look at France and Spain. And I don't see a winner out of any team other than those nations. They're so deep and you need depth, right? You're going to have injuries. We're all going to be watching the Premier League and the Bundesliga and the Liga now and crossing our fingers that the stars don't get hurt. But we're going to be missing a couple of stars. That always happens.
Yeah.
Now, Belgium, in fairness, probably do have the depth to replace a star. If Lukaku, for example, gets injured, they have, I know, a Christian Benteke, for example, could step in there and do a job. But yeah, you know, they're not quite there yet, I don't think. And looking at the depth that Germany, France, Brazil, and Spain have, it's very hard to bet outside those four teams.
Yeah, France is another team that I think will be looking at their draw and rubbing their hands. You know, that they're. And the thing with France is it's kind of a different group of French players because it almost seems now as France is the type of team that will now play up to its opposition, which they sometimes never used to do. But, I mean, I've seen them play a couple of friendlies against Germany. They were far and away better. Now they were only friendlies, but they were the better team. And in one match in particular, it wasn't even close. And and Germany ran out their, you know, a lot of their A-side in that game.
Yeah, but they're still a team that, I mean, I know what you're saying, but they're still a team that I think can beat themselves. And we saw in qualifying, they were doing so well. They were cruising in that group, and then they drew Luxembourg.
Mm.
Think about that. France drew Luxembourg, and they lost to Sweden, you know, albeit, you know, on a very fortunate goal after Hugo Lloris made a big mistake. that they're quite inexperienced to at this level. Obviously, they've got levels in a Champions League level, some very, very good players there. And I do like them. There's very few teams in the world I'd rather watch play than France. I think Paul Pogba could be one of those players that could, you know, define himself globally at that tournament next year. But yeah, it's a bit like the Dutch, you know, to a lesser degree. You know, they beat themselves, they can beat themselves quite easily, and they get in their heads, you know, and they get down a goal, and they just haven't got that. I don't know if character is the right word to pull themselves out of it. I've seen it over and over again with this team, and really since 2000, right? They really haven't really achieved that much internationally as far as tournament wins are concerned. So yeah, they're definitely in the mix. But, you know, if I'm going to look at the top four teams, they're probably on the fourth place or lower there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, I think Denmark could give them a little bit of a go in the group. And then the crossover gets – and Peru, too. That's right. And then the crossover gets interesting with them as well. So, again, aesthetically, you know, I would be rooting for them. I would love to watch them hoist the trophy because that would be a triumph for the kind of game they play. But – I'm kind of looking for, you know, you're kind of looking for drama here in the group stage.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a bit of a reach, you know, if I'm sitting here saying maybe Denmark will beat France, but, something will happen here that will go against everything we've said. And it's not going to be like Saudi Arabia winning, I don't think, but something will happen.
It'll be more like a Costa Rica situation or something maybe, like that, yeah. Where you get a team that is a really professional, close, well-organized club. Or should say team that plays really well for three or four matches. That's what it's going to take. And it may be another team like Costa Rica.
When this goes to 48, James, when this goes to 48, you know, like imagine the discussion we're going to be having about that. And again, I know you're going to also add some good sides, some good European sides, but not elite sides. And you're going to have a lot more, you know, you're going to have a lot more minnows than you are whales, right? It's not going to be pretty.
It's going to be 16 groups of three to start with.
Yeah.
So, you know, two match opening groups for each team, and that's going to be just ludicrous. You can imagine the collusion, right, in that third game. It's going to be not good. And, you know, I'm looking forward to this World Cup. I am. It's a World Cup. I love World Cups. But I am extremely concerned that it's going to be a lot like Euro. You know, we're seeing the template's been set for a lot of these smaller nations, how you kill off games, how you make it difficult for the bigger teams to do well. Iceland was a great story last time. If they did the same thing around this time, it's going to be very boring. I'm sorry, as simple as that. Because, you know, it is not fun to watch. International football has taken a bit of a step backwards. It's not expansive attacking football. It's very tactical. It's let's not lose as opposed to let's try and win. And that's a shame. So, I'm not just saying this because we haven't got the rights to it this time around, but it could be at times laborious. And let's hope the likes of a Brazil jump out and does something special.
Well, then the other thing, you know, your point is well made. I mean, the last World Cup, Germany, a lot of depth, a lot of great players, but it wasn't. They weren't scintillating all the time. Like there's a real. You know, they've got a really tactical approach to early round games, and it doesn't make for the most exciting soccer. That's why I'm like Steve in that there could be a lot worse things to happen in this World Cup than for France to go on a roll, because they are fun to watch.
No, look,
when they get going, they are fun to watch.
Jeff, I would argue, and James, you may not agree, but I think the best, the most entertaining football is league football and Champions League football. That oftentimes, you know, where we are now, World Cup football, and this is having seen a lot of matches, and some great ones. I was there for the Dennis Bergkamp goal and things like that. I've seen some amazing stuff at World Cups, but I've seen a lot of dogs at World Cups, fewer at Euros. I think up and down league football is more entertaining than this stuff.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you see the fans of club football. Say that the diehard Liverpool fans or Man United fans, they'd rather watch their club play than England, 100%. And they actually support their clubs more than their nation as well. It's more attacking. You know, they know each other more. The coaches had them for the entire season. Now, don't forget, these guys are thrown together like four or five times a year for a couple of weeks. And then maybe a month before a World Cup, and you're not that surprised when they're just not, you know, on the same page tactically as they are, you know, in these well-oiled Champions League teams and club teams. So it's definitely a big problem. I don't know what the solution is, though. I'm not sure, because you're right, there have been great tournaments in the past, as we water this thing down more and more to 48 teams, it's only going to get worse. And Jeff, you made a good point there with Germany back in Brazil World Cup. People were calling for Yogi Love's head after the group phase, saying this guy cannot coach a team, to be fired. And they won the thing in the end. Mm-hmm. When Spain won 2 Euros in the World Cup, look at the scorelines of their results. They were generally 1-0. Mm-hmm. You know, they dominated games. They were wonderful, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't swashbuckling attacking football. It was pragmatic defensive football that won them championships. So that kind of is what international football is.
Yeah, it's funny, and I don't know who said this. It's not an original thought in my part, but it was a discussion on Match of the Day. They were talking about, you know, the value of possession, and I can't remember who was making the point that the problem with soccer now, or the way soccer is now, possession is viewed as a defensive strength as opposed to an offensive strength. It's I've got the ball, so you can't do anything with it, as opposed to I've got the ball, let me see what I can do with it. Now, there are teams, like Manchester City, there are teams that take a different approach. But by and large, possession is viewed as a defensive posture as opposed to an offensive posture. And I think that absolutely makes sense.
Pep Guardiola, that's what he says. That's his credo. He says, listen, the best defense is me having the ball at my feet, because you can't get it, you can't score. Simple as that.
Yep.
Now, listen, Pep's a little bit different. If every coach like Pep would be enjoying wonderful tournaments, because he's a little bit different, right? But look at Jose Mourinho, you know, same kind of thing, right? But a very different approach, and it's successful. You can't argue success. It's odd, you know. Then you see a Leicester City, for example, with 35.
Oh, I think we dropped James's line.
Oh, well.
James, we appreciate you doing this.